Architecture critic Paul Goldberger's new book is Ballpark, Baseball in the American City. It is about the history of baseball told through the stories of the nation's ballparks and stadiums. Ballpark examines how the histories of baseball in the American city have been intertwined for more than a century and a half, and how the architecture of the baseball park expresses their interdependence. It spans from the mid-1800s, where Union Grounds was an existing baseball field in Brooklyn, to the 1900s, the rise of Detroit's Tiger Stadium and Cincinnati's Palace of the Fans, and to the stadiums we fill today. Again, the name of the new book is Ballpark, Baseball in the American City, and it's a pleasure to welcome Paul Goldberger to the roundtable this morning. Paul, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Great to be here.
What brought you to this particular project and looking at the histories of baseball in the American city?
Well, I've always, I write about architecture in cities. I've always loved baseball. And at some point it seemed, why not put the two of them together? It actually goes back several years. I was writing about architecture for the New Yorker magazine in those days. And it was when Citi Field and the new Yankee Stadium both opened in the same season in New York. And I was asked to write about them for the magazine, went, had a look at both, realized that there was such a rich and complex and fascinating history behind both of them. I began to look more into the whole history of ballpark architecture and the way in which it really relates to the history of the American city. You can really read American cities through baseball. You can read baseball through American cities, that they have a kind of really intimate relationship that nobody had paid attention to before. I think some of it is because of the great Cooperstown myth, in a way, the myth of baseball as a predominantly rural sport. In fact, is not really true, as a lot of baseball historians have already shown us. And then I saw that really baseball is a way to track how Americans have treated their cities, what they think of their cities, and how they deal with them.
You have a section in the book early on called The Golden Age. Tell us about that golden age and ultimately how we moved away from it.
Sure. Well, the golden age really was the age in the relatively early, probably really best described as the second decade of the 20th century, when we, beginning with Scheib Park in Philadelphia and Forbes Field in Pittsburgh, we began to build really wonderful ballparks that were deeply integrated into cities, very much parts of neighborhoods, parts of places that were made of concrete and steel to get away from the prior generation, which was predominantly wood, most of which burned down, which is why we don't really remember them or think that much of them. There's not that much record of the first generation of ballparks. But the golden age was when concrete, steel, and a kind of more ambitious architecture all kicked in. And so that gave us places like Ebbets Field and Scheib in Philadelphia, which was probably the first kind of monumental ballpark, you might say, that tried to be a really important civic building as well as a place to watch baseball. And, of course, we're lucky enough to have two of those great ones still functioning, Fenway and Wrigley. We lost a few others, probably most sadly, because it's the most recent, is Tiger Stadium in Detroit, which opened the same day in 1912 that Fenway opened, but lasted all the way to the millennium. The Tigers only moved to Comerica Park in 2000, but an effort to save it was ultimately not successful.
It seems inconceivable that we could lose those two stadiums, and yet anything can happen. How do we not screw that up?
Well, I think we have learned a lot. I mean, part of the story of this book is really about how much we've learned. Losing Ebbets Field was a particular tragedy, but on the other hand, it's also important to realize why we lost it, that it was, in many ways, an awkward, uncomfortable, difficult place, and not that convenient for a lot of fans as well. One of the things that's really encouraging is of the two ballparks from that golden age that we still have, Wrigley and Fenway, they've both been renovated pretty sensitively. I think, to make them work more for the needs of the 21st century without screwing up the things that make them so special. You know, people may differ about certain things, and I think Wrigley probably would have been fine without a digital screen in it. But nevertheless, on balance, the essence of both places has been kept, and they've been treated really very lovingly, as has the what is now hard to believe, but actually the third oldest ballpark in the major leagues, Dodger Stadium, which is now well over half a century old, and has been renovated also with incredible sensitivity. I think it's actually better than it's ever been.
There's, of course, an entire section in the book about baseball moving out of the city and going, you know, out by the airport. And
Yep, exactly.
And the era of concrete donuts, as you call it. And we learned a lesson from that, didn't we?
We definitely learned a lesson from that, and we don't really do that anymore. You know, that, again, parallels the whole move to the suburbs that, you know, after World War II, the American middle class kind of moved en masse out of the city, and baseball, logically enough, just followed. But what we don't do anymore is build, you know, stadiums sitting in an acre, or rather acres and acres of asphalt paved parking. We've learned that that does not work. People don't like it. It's just we can do much, much better than that. And so now we tend to build most of the time back in the city where I think baseball belongs. Camden Yards in Baltimore was, of course, a huge, huge transformational event in 1992. When that happened, everything changed from there on in. And there was, you know, once again, a great traditional downtown ballpark, but with modern amenities, so it could still work for the needs of baseball today. The one baseball park that is has gone to the suburbs in recent years is Atlanta, the new Braves stadium, SunTrust Park, that opened in 2017. And that, but even that, while I wish they'd stayed in the city, at least that is not sitting there with 50 acres of parking around it. It has been built as part of a development with a kind of, you know, with a lot of stores and restaurants and bars and even a hotel, a condo, an office building. It's a kind of little suburban city. I find it, frankly, a little on the theme park side for my taste. But if you ask, is this better than the early concrete donuts sitting in acres of concrete, acres of asphalt parking, of course it is. It's much better. At least it shows that that they understand that even in the suburbs, people want something that feels like a city. And so they set out to make one. My preference is to stick with the real city when we have it. But at least, you know, at least they knew people wanted something that felt urban where they could walk around as opposed to just walking from parking.
About two-thirds through the book, you start writing about Camden Yards, and that really opens up a whole new chapter, right? As you say in the chapter heading, baseball returns.
Yeah, baseball came back to the city where, as I say, it kind of belonged, and did it in a really wonderful way. Camden Yards, you know, almost every type of building, almost everything we build evolves over time, airports, hospitals, schools, everything. But I can't think of any one category where one single project turned everything around totally. But that is what happened with baseball in Camden Yards. After Camden Yards opened in 1992, nobody would ever build a concrete donut again. That was it. Just in one fell swoop, it killed off an entire type of stadium. And we went back to more traditional ballparks, which then over the years since, we keep tweaking and varying, and some are more modern, some are more traditional like Camden Yards, some are a little too self-consciously retro and a little too cute, others are not. Some have retractable roofs, others don't. But in general, we're much more committed to building ballparks in an urban setting of some kind, and we are no longer falling victim to the, I think, the kind of the fallacy that you can do a good mixed-use, multi-purpose stadium. So we don't build for football and baseball anymore in the same place, which is a great victory for both sports, to be fair, because in the end, you know, you compromise both. Anything that tries to work for football and baseball is not going to work really well for either one.
You know, I know many people do this. I'm my brother and I do it. You try to go to all of the major league ballparks in the country.
Sure,
and so last week we found ourselves at Globe Life Park in Arlington, Texas. So shocking for us to learn that 25 years after it was built, a beautiful stadium, I think today still a beautiful stadium, that there is one being built right next to it. It got us wondering as to the disposable nature of these stadiums. 25 years doesn't seem like a long time to me.
25 years is a very short time, and I hope most of the others we're building now last longer. I think that the real issue with Globe Life was the decision made early on not to give it a retractable roof. Those were relatively new at that time. That stadium predates the first, what I consider the first really successful ballpark with a retractable roof, which is Safeco in Seattle, which is now called T-Mobile Park, but for most of its life was Safeco Field. People in the Texas sun are not so happy to be sitting outside. And I think the pressure to have something with a retractable roof just grew and grew and grew. They also were developing that whole area into a kind of bigger entertainment complex, not unlike what the Atlanta Braves have done in Cobb County. And I guess they figured a new ballpark could sort of fit into that master plan a little more smoothly. But I think it really is a sad loss. I mean, even Ebbets Field lasted 44 years, and that still wasn't nearly enough. There's no reason a good ballpark shouldn't last more than 100 years. And, of course, given the recent upgrades and work that have been done on them, both Fenway and Wrigley have passed the 100-year mark and continue to work, I hope, for generations to come.
We were talking about lessons that were learned. You also end the book by talking about lessons that were forgotten as well. What are those lessons that we shouldn't forget?
Well, I think we shouldn't forget the value of the real city. I think, you know, baseball is itself, or baseball park, rather, is itself a kind of magical world, a mix of the rural and the urban, a mix of entertainment and sort of beautiful, reflective place, at once full of energy and tranquility. It has a very special kind of magic to it, and its presence in the city, for me, is tremendously important, and its connections to the city. You know, when the new San Francisco ballpark was built, which was recently renamed Oracle Park, I walked there from a hotel a couple of times, and I thought, you know, this is the best thing. I've done the same thing in Pittsburgh. And for me, one of the measures of success is it a ballpark you can walk to? So I hope we don't lose that entirely. Again, you know, in Atlanta, which is the only ballpark in recent years built outside of an urban center, nevertheless, they tried to create a new kind of pretend, make-believe urban node around it just so you could still have that same experience. So even there, Atlanta was admitting how important that experience is, even though they were taking it out of the real city itself.
Well, the name of the new book is Ballpark, Baseball in the American City. Paul Goldberger will be speaking and signing the new book at an event at Oblong Books and Music at 6 o'clock on Wednesday, this Wednesday, May 15th, in Rhinebeck, New York. And you can find out more by going to oblongbooks.com. Oblongbooks.com. Wednesday, May 15th at 6 p.m. The name of the book, Ballpark, Baseball in the American City. Paul Goldberger, great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much. It's been fun for me.
Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Ballpark, Baseball in the American City. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.